continue with 6 where we left off?
Yes, you can. You can do. Yeah.
Is that what you recommend?
Yeah. I think it opens up a lot of things.
For coming. And thank you for turning off your cell phones or putting them in silent mode. Let's do a cell phone check, okay? I heard there was a Christian preacher, he told his congregation that anyone whose cell phone rang would burn in a lake of eternal fire. That was pretty good. Cannot.
That's a cutoff.
Okay. So this is Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 6, and we're up to text 17.
Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishnam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Dadamayam Dadati Sravanantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yudha Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunatam Vitam Stam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitam Shri Krishna Karuna Sindho Dini Bandho Jagat Pate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tata Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindaveshwari Vishamanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vansha Kopita Rupyasya Kripa Sindho Devasya Padita Nam Padanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhara, Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna. And if we can stow the cameras also. Lord Krishna has been describing the yoga system, the Ashtanga yoga system, the system of eightfold yoga. Shucho deshe pratishthapya sthiramasana vatmanam natyukshutam nati nicham chailajanam kushokanam. One has to go to a sacred place and sit on the proper kind of seat, in the proper posture, with the eyes half open and half closed, meditating on Him, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And now Lord Krishna is further describing how to practice the yoga system. Yukta ahara viharasya yukta cheshtasya karmasu yukta svapnavabodhasya yogo bhavati dukkha. One can put an end to all miseries by being regulated. Yukta here means regulated. Yukta ahara. Ahara means in eating. Yukta ahara viharas cha. In eating, in recreation. Yukta svapna avabhotasya. In sleeping. In everything. All of our activities. Cheshtasya. In our endeavors. One who can regulate all activities gets free from all miseries. Even from in ordinary affairs, when we have a daily routine that's conducive to peaceful life, to healthy life, if one day we eat like kings, the next day we starve, the next day we're doing something else, one day we're eating at noon, the next day we're eating at four, one night we're staying up till midnight, the next night we're night begins, day begins at 11 o'clock in the morning. That sort of up and down, unregulated sort of life is conducive to ill health and a disturbed mind. Everything becomes disturbed. So to practice yoga, one should be even. Regular eating, regular sleeping, regular pattern of activities, regular work, everything regulated. Then one can get free from all miseries by practicing this yoga system. Of course, it's not simply by being regulated, but having a regulated life is a prerequisite to practicing yoga. Therefore, people who are living a wild sort of life and then zipping in for an hour of yoga are not going to get the results, the desired results of the yoga system. One has to lead a regulated life. Yada viniyatam chittam atmanyeva vatishtate nispraha sarvakame yo yukte tyuchate tada. When the yogi, by practice of yoga, disciplines his mental activities and becomes situated in transcendence, devoid of all material desires, he is said to be well established in yoga. So chitta means the mind. Viniyata. It should be disciplined. The yoga is not meant simply for physical discipline or physical improvement, but it's meant for controlling the mind. When the mind is controlled, then we can control all of our senses, and then our life is controlled. Otherwise, with the mind uncontrolled, we'll be lost. We'll be lost. The senses will be unregulated, because the mind is supposed to regulate the senses. So when the mind is undisciplined, and then the senses are unregulated, then our life becomes topsy-turvy, and we're just pulled this way, pulled that way, pulled the next way by the demands of the senses. Come on, let's go this way. Come on, let's go that way. Come on, come on. And then we become victimized by a desire for this, a desire for that. Even in ordinary affairs, debt. So many people are in debt because they desire this, they desire that. And there are people who encourage them, yes, put your plastic in there, and it's yours. And then they become overwhelmed by debt to what they've desired. And the object of their desire becomes the source of their suffering. So one has to control the mind and become free from desires, nispriha, sarvakame yo. So that's possible when one is situated actually in yoga. The activities of the yogi are distinguished from those of an ordinary person by his characteristic cessation from all kinds of material desires, of which sex is the chief. A perfect yogi is so well disciplined in the activities of the mind that he can no longer be disturbed by any kind of material desire. This perfectional stage can automatically be attained by persons in Krishna consciousness, as stated in Srimad Bhagavatam. Savai mana Krishna padada bindayor, lachamsi vaikunta gunanavarnane, karau harer mandira marjanadishu, shrutim chakarachuta satkatodaya, mukunda lingalaya darshane drishau, tadvritya gadra sparshenga sangamam, kanam chutat pada suroja, sorupe, Srimat Tulasya Vasanam Tarapite Padam Hare Kshetra Padam Sarpane Shido Vishikesha Padapi Bandane Kamam Chudasye Natukama Kamya Ya Yitotama Shloka Janashraya Vatihi. This is description of King Ambarish, a pure devotee of the Lord. There are 9 items of devotional service: hearing about Krishna, chanting about Krishna, remembering Krishna, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, Smaranam Padasevanam, rendering service to the lotus feet of the Lord, worshipping the Lord, becoming the servant of the Lord, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, Smaranam Padasevanam, Archanam Vandanam Dasyam, Satyam, offering prayers to the Lord and becoming the friend of the Lord, and finally surrendering everything to the Lord. So, Maharaj Ambarish is the example of the person who did all of these things. The Bhagavatam says one can become perfect by any one of these items. The Sukadeva Parikshit Maharaj became perfect by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. And Sukadeva Goswami attained perfection by speaking Srimad Bhagavatam. Prahlad Maharaj by remembering Krishna. And Bhaktura by offering prayers in this way, by one item. But Ambarish Maharaj did all of it. Savai mana Krishna padavati. The beginning was, and this is the point, that he engaged his mind by the lotus feet of Krishna. This is the actual focus of yoga. Krishna said earlier, we were just reading the other day, Manasam yamya machchitto yukta sita matpada. The goal of yoga is to fix the mind on Krishna. So Parikshit Maharaj did that, and with his mind engaged on the lotus feet of Krishna, then, one after another, he was able to engage all of his other senses in the service of the Lord. His words in describing the transcendental qualities of the Lord, his hands in mopping the temple of the Lord, his ears in hearing about Krishna's activities, his eyes in seeing the transcendental form of the deity, his body in touching the bodies of the devotees, his sense of smell, and smelling the lotus flowers offered to the Lord, his tongue in tasting the tulsi. In this way, his legs in going to the places of pilgrimage or the temple of the Lord, his head in offering obeisances to the Lord, and his desires in executing the mission of the Lord. To become desireless doesn't mean to become empty. It doesn't mean to become hollow, vacuumed out. It means that the material desires are driven out by spiritual desire. That the devotee uncovers, excavates his natural desire to serve Krishna. And being full of those desires, there's no space for the other desires. Yaha Krishna taha maya nahi maya. Where there's Krishna, there can't be maya. So where there's desire for pleasing Krishna, that drives out material desire, the desire to be Krishna, essentially. Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. So when we're desiring, let me be the enjoyer, in that sense, we're desiring, well, let me be Krishna. Let me try it out. But that doesn't work, because we're constitutionally servants of Krishna. So by developing that desire, let me serve Krishna, let me hear about Krishna, let me chant about Krishna, then with Krishna everywhere, there's no space for Maya. The senses and the mind require engagements. Simple abnegation is not practical. Therefore, for people in general, especially those who are not in the renounced order of life, transcendental engagement of the senses and the mind, as described above, is the perfect process for transcendental achievement, which is called yukta in the Bhagavad Gita. So many times people ask, well, how, when we're engaged in material life, can we? It's very practical. There are so many activities for Krishna consciousness, hearing, chanting, serving the Lord in different ways. And by performing these activities, one becomes well situated. King Ambarish was not a vairagi, not a sannyasi. He was a king. Kings are busy people. They have a lot resting on their shoulders. All sorts of things they have to take care of. Management of the state, settling of disputes, keeping the ministers in check. So many things. Watching after the treasury. Watching against aggressive states. So many things. So he was doing all of these things. But he was doing so in his eternal identity, that I'm the servant of Krishna, which he kept by fixing his mind on the lotus feet of Krishna, engaging his senses in Krishna's service. Yata dipo nivatasto mengate sopama smuta yogino yata chittasya yunjato yogam atmanaha. As a lamp in a windless place does not waver, so the transcendentalist whose mind is controlled remains always steady in his meditation on the transcendental self. We were hearing the other day from Dhanadhar Maharaj that in Patanjali's yoga system it's recommended, just fix the mind on one thing. That's a kind of discipline. Don't let the mind go here, don't let the mind go there. So we find people meditating, for example, on a flame, or meditating on a diagram. But he recommends, Patanjali recommends, the best thing is to focus the mind on the Lord. There's nothing inherently purifying about a lamp or a diagram or a doorknob or whatever it is that one might fix one's mind on. But Ambarish Maharaj set the perfect example of yoga by fixing his mind on the lotus feet of Krishna. So that's what's recommended here. Yoga Matmana. The mind should be fixed on the Supreme Self, Paramatma, Krishna. This is very nice. Yatra paramate chittam niruddham yoga sevaya yatra chaivatmanatmanam pashyan atmani tushyati sukham adyantikam yattad buddhigrayam atindriyam veti yatra nachayavayam stitas chalati tatvatam yam labdva chaparam labham manyate dhadikam tukaha yasmin stito na dukkena gurunapi vichalyate tam vidya dukkasam yoga viyogam yoga sankitam. In the stage of perfection called trance or samadhi, one's mind is completely restrained from material mental activities by practice of yoga. This perfection is characterized by one's ability to see the self by the pure mind, and to relish and rejoice in the self. In that joyous state, one is situated in boundless transcendental happiness. realized through transcendental senses. Established thus, one never departs from the truth. And upon gaining this, he thinks there's no greater gain. Being situated in such a position, one is never shaken, even in the midst of greatest difficulty. This indeed is actual freedom from all miseries arising from material contact. Miseries arising from material contact means this body. I am spiritual. Aham Brahmasmi. Sangam Giriyo Purusha. The spirit, the soul, has no real connection with matter. What is matter to soul? What does spirit have to do with matter? It has no connection to matter in reality. But by imagination, we establish some connection. That's called false ego. By falsely identifying with matter, we become connected with matter. There's no connection, but we imagine that we're connected. And that becomes the cause of material existence and material suffering. The suffering is on account of this body. For the soul, there's no suffering. The soul can't be cut, can't be dried, can't be burned, can't be any of these other things. The body is subject to these miseries. So when we identify with this body, we become subject to all the sufferings that derive from this body. And not only in one life, but in life after life. But when we disconnect ourselves from this false identity and revive our real identity, that's liberation. Mukti hitvanyata rupam swarupena vivastiti. Mukti means, liberation means, getting free from our false identity and being established in our real identity. Jivera swarupoi krishna. I'm the eternal servant of Krishna. So here, that's described as being the perfection of the yoga system. Why am I doing this yoga? Why am I sitting? Why am I practicing pranayama, breathing exercises, and so on? It's not simply to lose weight. The real goal is described here. It's to reach this perfection called samadhi, or absorption of the mind in Krishna consciousness. Yatra uparamate chittam niruddham yoga sevaya, by practice of yoga. Yatra chaivatmanatmanam pashyan atmani tushyati. By engaging the mind in Krishna consciousness, one's mind becomes absorbed in thinking of Krishna. And tushyati, one becomes satisfied. Material happiness, there's no actual satisfaction. There's always disappointment. There may be little, oh, I'm so happy, but then it becomes disappointment, frustration. But pashyanatmani, when one actually sees the Paramatma, Krishna, one becomes satisfied. Sukham atyantikam yattat buddhigrayam atindriyam. One comes to the point of sukham atyantikam, immeasurable happiness, supreme happiness, buddhigrayam atindriyam, experienced through transcendental senses. It's not that the senses are dissolved or stopped, but these material senses are like the coverings for the spiritual senses. And when one is when one ceases from material activities with the senses, then the spiritual sense activities are disclosed. Even in material, now everything is matter in touch with matter, with consciousness of matter. But these same material senses can be engaged in spiritual activities. the ear, which is hearing about politics and Michael Jackson and whatever else, that same ear can hear about Krishna. The same voice which is speaking about ordinary, what's the price of this, what's the price of that, can speak about Krishna. Maharaj Ambarish engaged all of his senses in the service of Krishna. So when those senses, even our external senses, are engaged in the service of Krishna, then the inner senses, the spiritual senses, are turned toward Krishna. The spiritual mind is turned toward Krishna. The spiritual body is awakened. This material body is just the covering of the spiritual body. And we're so absorbed at the present moment in the material body that our spiritual identity is lost. But by actually practicing the yoga system, our spiritual identity is revived. And one experiences this transcendental happiness with the senses, spiritual senses. Yam labdva chapuram labham manyate narikantam. When one experiences this transcendental happiness, one thinks nothing is better than this. There is nothing better than this transcendental happiness. Srila Prabhupada gave the example that in the early days of the Krishna consciousness movement, so many devotees would join and so many parents would become distraught. One of them happened to be the family of our godbrother Giriraj Swami, whose father was a big Chicago lawyer. And so he basically offered everything. You know, a car, the kingdom. You know, son, whatever I have is yours. And Giriraj Swami preferred to stay with the devotees. He wound up in India, living practically in a jungle. In those days, Juhu was really a kind of a marshy jungle with snakes and who knows what else. And they had no amenities. It was not the Juhu Beach of today where everything was very high-rolling or sophisticated. They had practically just improvised dwellings, living in the middle of a field. And this is what he was doing in preference to taking his father's money and comforts and everything. Why? Because he was getting transcendental happiness by serving Krishna and the spiritual master. So just to offer a car, it was ridiculous. There's one of my favorite posters. If I ever see it, I'm going to grab it at once. But I saw it one time passing by a bazaar. There's a picture of Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur, the devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu declared him Namacharya, the exemplar of chanting the holy name. Although he happened to come from a Muslim family, he became attracted to the holy name of Krishna and he was simply engaged in chanting. So there were some people who were envious of him, and they hired a young and beautiful prostitute to seduce him. And he was, at that time, he was in a sort of outside a village, in a little hut, chanting. And so in the middle of the night, this young and beautiful girl came, and attractively dressed, or attractively somewhat dressed, and proposed to him that I'm in love with you, I'm attracted to you, you're so young, you're so handsome, you're such a great devotee, I'm going to die if I can't associate with you. So he said, yes, it's actually very good, but I've taken a vow to chant so many rounds, Hare Krishna. So let me finish my chanting and then we can enjoy. So you just sit and gradually we'll get to things. But he went on chanting and chanting, and then the morning came, he said, sorry, I couldn't finish my chanting, but if you come tomorrow. So the next night again she showed up, and again it was the same story. And then a third night, again the same thing. But she's sitting there, he's hearing, chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
And so she's being affected. Finally, she begins chanting. And then she confesses that this is the actual story. I was hired by some man to seduce you. So it was my great mistake, please forgive me. He says, yes, I know all about that. I was going to leave, but I stayed 3 extra days for you. So now I'm leaving. Take this hut, chant Hare Krishna, and be happy. Anyway, there was this little, not a poster, it was a little picture of Haridas and the prostitute. And in the picture, she's doing a pretty good job of exposing her body and coming on in an alluring posture. And Haridas Thakur has this grin on his face, as if to say, lady, you got to be out of your mind. So how is it possible? Young man and a beautiful woman, but he's getting so much happiness from chanting the holy name of Krishna that he wasn't interested. So that's sukamachyantikam yat. That's yam labdva chapram labha manyate navikam. With this happiness, one thinks there's no better happiness than this. Yasmin stato nadukkena rudunapi vichalyate. Situated in this happiness of Krishna consciousness, one isn't disturbed even in the heaviest difficulties, heaviest miseries, gurunapi vichalyate, yasmin stata not dukkena. One isn't disturbed even amidst the greatest difficulties. Krishna is there, whatever may happen next time. He remains fixed up in Krishna consciousness. Tam vidyat dukkha samyoga, viyoga. Dukkha samyoga means completely connected with suffering, viyoga. He becomes completely disconnected from that. Now, this is the result of practicing yoga. Let's see what kind of questions we might have so far. Any questions? Comments? Yeah?
How did you explain about this transcendental happiness?
Transcendental happiness.
Can you also feel like, what does it taste like? Like
what does it taste like?
Like, what does it mean? What does it taste like?
Srila Prabhupada gave an example of what it is to how it is to describe this. He said that there were some children who'd never tasted jackfruit were asking their father or their grandfather, well, what does jackfruit taste like? And he said, well, you know, you have to taste it. And they said, no, what does it taste like? What does it taste like? No, you have to taste it. No, what does it taste like? What is it? So finally he said, it's something like sugar cane juice filtered through a Muslim's beard. Prajakshavagamam karma. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, it's directly experienced. Therefore, we ask people, please chant Hare Krishna, because we can't really tell you what it tastes like. But by chanting Hare Krishna, you'll taste for yourself. Even in the beginning, one will get some taste. And the more one chants, the more one gets a taste. We can get some idea of what it tastes like. Srila Rupa Goswami says that when I chant Hare Krishna, then I wish I had thousands of tongues and thousands of ears with which to hear and chant Hare Krishna. So how much taste there is in the holy name of Krishna. Is that okay? Anything else? I can do this.
Is this the same yoga which has been narrated by Lord Kapil to his mother?
Is this the same yoga narrated by Lord Kapildev? Yes. But there are two Kapildevs. One Kapildev is an atheist, and the other Kapildev is Devahuti Putra Kapildev.
I talked about Devahuti.
Yeah, so Devahuti Putra Kapildev is giving the same Ashtanga Yoga system. In the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, we'll find that there's a very brief description. In the third canto, there's a more elaborate description of the yoga system. So that's the same system.
Just now what you narrated about Chaitanya Mahaprabhuji, Lord Prithu also prayed the same thing, that Karna Ayutam, Lord Prithu, Prithu Raja.
Lord?
Prithu.
Yes.
He also prayed the same thing.
Yes.
That I do not want any other blessings than to have 10,000 years so that I can hear your Gurudan with those 10,000 years.
Yes, thank you. These are the desires of the pure devotees. So what will material things do for me? But let me be engaged always in hearing and chanting about Krishna. Some other comment or question?
We all think you're a great devotee.
Well, everyone makes mistakes.
I was wondering perhaps if you have some more to say about the great devotee Haridas Thakur. Perhaps, I never read Chaitanya Charitamrita, so asking you, maybe you can tell us, perhaps you can tell us more about Brahmacharya Haridas Thakur.
Haridas Thakur, that becomes a great topic. There are chapters of Chaitanya Charitamrita dedicated to Haridas Thakur. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also said, I think, that I don't have enough, I need so many tongues like Anantadev to chant the glories of Haridas Thakur. Yes. He was very dear to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, although he was coming from a apparently low-class background. But it was the glory of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't consider. He saw that he's completely attached to Krishna. Haridas Thakur, Rupa Goswami, they used to stay together in Jagannath Puri. And because Haridas Thakur was not within the Hindu community, he was excluded from the Jagannath temple. But Jagannath himself, in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, used to come to see him every day. I've already told the... He used to go out, apart from chanting, so many rounds of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra every day. He would go out preaching with Nityananda Prabhu. They were the ones who approached the fallen souls like Jagai and Matai, asking them to be engaged in, to give up materialistic, foolish activities and engage in the service of the Lord. Imagine with so much chanting, what, 300,000 holy names every day? Still, there was time for going out and spreading Krishna consciousness. Even in his, of course, we've We've told the story how the prostitute was hired to seduce him. The Muslims, the Hindus were envious of him. Hindu Brahmins were envious of him. And where Brahmins, where are the guys who are the spiritual guys around here? And who's this Muslim pretending to be like a Hindu Acharya or something? So they were trying to get the Muslim authorities on his case. And the Muslims also, you know, for them, Haridas Thakur was a kafir. He abandoned Islam to take up Hinduism. For the Hindus, he was rejected. Because you can't be a Hindu, you're a Muslim. And by the Muslims, he was rejected because you've given up Islam. So he was rejected on both sides. But he was accepted by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The Muslim magistrate, the Qazi, also ordered at one point that he should be beaten in 64 marketplaces. Caned. Beaten means, like we hear these days in Islam, it's like a cane, or in Singapore, there was a famous case where a boy was sentenced to be beaten. That means basically killed. When you're whipped with one of those things, it's 64 market, but you're not going to make it to 64 marketplaces. It means killed. So he accepted, all right, that you can do what you want with me, but I'm not going to give up chanting Hare Krishna. I won't give up chanting of the holy name of Krishna. Of course, he offered to them that there are so many Hindus, they convert to Islam. So if one Muslim converts to Hinduism, what's the loss? But he told them that I won't give up the chanting of Harinam. So all right, then you'll be beaten. So they were beating and beating him, but he wasn't dying. So it was becoming bad for the people who'd been assigned to beat him. You know, if we finish our round of punishments for you, if you don't die, then it'll be our heads. So then he pretended, all right, I'm dead. Then he disposed of the body, but then he again was alive. By the grace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was not affected. The Haridas Thakur and the prostitute, I've told that. On another occasion, Maya herself appeared in order to try to distract him from the holy name of Krishna. But still, he wasn't attracted. Rather, he initiated Maya Devi into the chanting of the holy name. In his old age, still he was chanting. And he left this world in the personal presence of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That's a whole chapter in Chaitanya Charitamrita also. So read Chaitanya Charitamrita.
I saw that on the cover of the Srinathamrita. That must be what it was. It's Mahaprabhu holding the body.
Yes, Mahaprabhu, at the time of the disappearance of Haridas Thakur, he danced with the body of, holding the body of Haridas Thakur. Yes.
Is he not different than Lord Brahma?
Yes. And sometimes he's considered an incarnation of Brahma. That's sometimes called Brahma Haridas.
Tomorrow is Lord Balaram's appearance day.
Tomorrow is Lord Balaram's appearance day.
How important is the day for students of Bhakti Yoga?
How important is it for students of Bhakti Yoga? On a scale of 1 to 10? Yes, Balaram is the incarnation of Krishna, first expansion of Krishna. And he's Guru Tattva. He's the spiritual master of everyone. Nityananda Prabhu is not different from Lord Balaram. And it's said that without getting spiritual strength from Lord Balaram, no one can be engaged in transcendental progress. That's stated in the Shastra. So, the Baladev Tattva, very, very important. So this day is an important day for Balaram's appearance. There's a program in Mount Airy tomorrow.
Yeah.
You're also, or everyone's going there?
Yeah. Am I going there?
If there's a program here, everyone's going there.
The program's there.
There, okay. Everyone's headed out there tomorrow. Mount Airy. If you're not thinking about getting out there, you can think about heading out there. Jagannath, Subhadra, Balaram are there. Lord Balaram, it's very interesting that Krishna expands himself and then disagrees with himself. Sometimes Lord Balaram and Lord Krishna disagree. Krishna wants Subhadra to be married to Arjuna. And Balaram favors Duryodhana. And then Krishna has to do something, arrange some subterfuge, some plot for getting Subhadra kidnapped. And then Balaram's very angry. What is this rascal doing? And then Krishna has to settle him up with Balaram. So this is transcendental enjoyment. Krishna expands himself and enjoys in different forms. We need, for enjoyment, we need to have some friend or some, Like Krishna, he can just expand himself. Then he enjoys by himself in different forms. Yes?
Why did he come as the elder brother of Lord Krishna?
Why does he come as the elder brother of Lord Krishna? Yes. Sometimes it's said that because previously he came as the younger brother, Bharat, that was so much difficulty for this time, older brother. But otherwise, he's eternally in that relationship. Krishna expands as he likes for his business. Something else? We have a little more time. We can read a little more, or we can chant a little more, or we can do both. What should we do? Now we're 8:15. I know. I'll ask Dhanagra Maharaj to speak a little something. I mean, about any of the above.
Add something to that question about the importance of Balaram's appearance day. I know there's one verse by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Madhava Titi Bhakati Janani, that observing the days of Lord Hari give birth to devotion. So it's a very nice and appropriate analogy because you know, giving birth is something arises that wasn't there. So it's like that. If you follow these days properly, then I think especially almost like the next day, so, you know, there's really a surge of devotion. And I think it's very important. I think especially in the West, because of the power of the modes of nature to kind of distract us from spiritual life, I think that these days are really important to get refocused. I mean, I had that realization about Akadasi recently. Mm. You know, how important it is to get back and get focused. And I think also, one thing I remember reading, I think in Bhakti Sandarbha, was that Jiva Goswami says specifically that, you know, we should not think of spiritual personalities as historical personalities, that they existed at one time and are not existing now. So there's some kind of access to them. And our dear godbrother, Parthasarthi Goswami, he always shared with me his own realization, which I kind of just remember as a mantra. He said that we advance by mercy, and mercy comes from the great souls, and the conduit for that mercy is our worship and glorification of them. So on these days, appearance days of great acharyas, appearance days of the Lord, by that worship and glorification, you actually are reaching, you know, that the person. So there's a reciprocation. In other words, even when we chant Hare Krishna, we should understand that God is actually listening to our prayers. So that those days are kind of very important. We know that also in Vrindavan, Prabhupada established the Krishna Balaram deities, and that was his home. And I think it's, at least I can say the significance that he gave, others may give other significance to it. Significance he gave is that Prabhupada was very intent on spreading the glories of Gaur-Nitai, who were not as well known outside of Bengal as Krishna Balaram, and he wanted to show their non-difference. And he also, as you mentioned that Balaram gives strength. So as we are a preaching movement, he established the Krishna Balaram deities as to give shelter to the devotees and to actually supply the strength that we need. No, and I think if we remember the first chapter of Krishna book, discusses the names of that were given to Balaram. Sankarshan, it's like a force of gravity. It's pulling, so and then Balaram, it gives strength where you can get that taste or pleasure. In Vrindavan, Balaram's appearance day was a very big day for us because we had those deities. We used to hear many, many lectures about Balaram, that he was the servitor Godhead, that Krishna is enjoying, he expands his Balaram. And I especially like how Prabhupada puts it in the CC. He serves Krishna in all affairs of existence and knowledge. So, Krishna is enjoying, and then it's so nice, he expands his Balaram, and then all other expansions are coming from Balaram. And then Krishna is enjoying, but then he also serves personally. And because we are in Vrindavan, we get the tattva and we get the esoteric tattva. So we found out that Balaram serves in all rasas, and even in the Ananga Manjari is a manifestation of Balaram. So he serves as in everything, because the older brother is like the parent, the older brother is like the friend, the older brother is the servant. So anyway, the whole cosmology is Balaram. Balaram is Guru. So that's a very auspicious day. And now Haryash Prabhu is going to just say a few words also. Take the mic. Just add one or two things, that's all. You heard some things, your own experience, your...
I mean, that's a lot of heart. Krishna is very merciful. Well, I it is true that Bhakti Vinod says we look forward to days like Janmashtami, and because they're the mother of devotion. But there were so many nice things that Maharaj said in class. I was thinking when he was speaking about the yoga system, and it was interesting because when he began to say how we were just dreaming and how the false ego was there, you know, keeping us in bodily consciousness, and for us, when we think of yoga in such a pleasant way, the people are usually so up when they think about yoga. They feel good, we're going to look good, and we're experiencing the breathing. But in one sense, it was almost like a slap of reality that, you know, it is true that these things are there in yoga, but the real thing is the devotion, is the fixation on Krishna. And I just, as I was listening, I was just hearing that, you know, that process can be difficult, even if we're trying. It's still difficult. But what Chaitanya has given us such a simple process, you know, just taking shelter of the name. So I was going back and forth like that. And I was appreciating, because what I was appreciating was that when saintly persons come, they realize time is one of the most important things. So they don't want to waste time. So I felt like I was being slapped out of my illusion. And the cold reality is that real yoga, Yogi Namaka Sarve Sham, is to offer homage unto Krishna. Think of Krishna within ourselves. And ultimately be united with Krishna. And that easy methodology is to really take shelter of that name. So I guess tomorrow is another advantage, because I look forward to days like that, because when Lord Balaram's appearance, they I beg him like anything. As you were explaining that, they're accessible. I petition him, please, please, help me, give me some spiritual strength. Because I feel as though he hears me. So I'm just sharing, you know, I'm all about sharing, and I think it's a good opportunity for us as a group to look forward to that glorification of Lord Balaram, but at the same time, don't stop it there. Go and ask him. Ask him to exploit us, to use us in Krishna's service.
Mike, why don't you finish up? Why don't you ask him? What?
Come on, kind of. If they can use me, they can use anybody. He says right back at you.
Finish up. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Thank you very much.
Let's thank Don Ross Swami also. I love thanking people. Let's thank Kavaya too.
And
sing something. I got
prasad together.
It's loafing too long.
What are we going to do while he's getting the prasad together?
Yeah, of course.
Who's leading?